Campus FM presents Talking Heads Season 3, brought to you by students of the International Master in Adult Education for Social Change.
And welcome back to Talking Heads Season 3, produced by students from the third cohort of the International Master in Adult Education for Social Change. I'm Anna, an IMESC student and an English language teacher from Russia. Co-hosting the show with me today is Milton. Welcome to the show, Milton.
Hello and thank you. My name is Milton. I'm also an IMESC student. I've also been an English language teacher. I'm glad to be here.
At the moment, I'm involved into online English language private teaching, which explains my recent interest in this area. So not surprising that the topic for today is online education, its advantages and challenges from both teachers' and learners' point of views.
Like you said, I know that you've been into English teaching to adult learners. Can you share your impressions on this format of teaching? Is it easier or more difficult than face-to-face teaching?
Sure. I have a 12-year experience of face-to-face teaching, but only a year ago I decided to try a new format, which is teaching English online to individual students. At first, I was really concerned about the efficiency of this teaching model as I got used to face-to-face interaction. Additionally, I was worried a lot about some technical issues, materials demonstration, the quality of Skype connection, and students' readiness to follow the teacher at a distance. But my concerns were not justified as soon as I realized that the only difference between face-to-face and online classes is the destination and the screen separating us. In fact, now I find this way of teaching extremely convenient and flexible.
All right, so convenience and flexibility. So let's talk a little bit to our expert who we have today, Anna. Who is she?
Well, our expert for today is Dr. Angeliki Triantafylaki. Angeliki holds a PhD degree from the University of Cambridge in education. She's an online tutor at the Open University of Cyprus, a collaborating researcher and a lecturer at the University of Athens, and a program leader of MA degrees in leadership and management, special education needs and disability, and TESOL in a private college in Athens. Hello, Angeliki, and welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Anna, for having me here. It's a pleasure to be participating in your program.
It's a pleasure to have you in the studio with us today, Angeliki. We are going to talk about online adult education. And as we know, you have already had 5 years of teaching experience in online higher education institutions. If you compare an online format of education with a traditional face-to-face educational process, which one seems to be more efficient and beneficial, both in terms of learning and teaching, and why?
Well, I'm not sure I can really put these two side by side and compare them, as the nature of teaching and learning in online and face-to-face formal educational situations is very different. Online education obviously has the advantage that you don't need to be physically present in order to participate in a particular course. It allows you to move through the course materials at your own pace, picking and choosing when and where you'll engage with your own learning. And in this sense, it's quite an autonomous type of learning. The learner, independently of the tutor in much of the course, needs to take responsibility for their own learning. This also means that the teacher is given a different role. He or she is more of a mentor, providing support, checking on occasion that students are engaging with the course, giving explanations, focusing in on particular aspects if they haven't been understood. The online presence of the tutor is often discussed as being more impersonal in a sense. However, I do think that's also dependent on the tutor and the way he or she connects to students. And in all the courses I taught, there is live streaming, so student-tutor communication is encouraged and expected. But I also think the potential benefits of online learning depend on the type of learner and their learning needs.
Thank you for sharing your opinion on this issue. And how can a typical online learner be characterized by you? Do they fall under any specific category?
Well, I'm not going to draw on statistics here, but rather discuss my own experience of having taught, well, few hundred students since I began teaching online on postgraduate courses. So this is just my personal view, really. Often students on my postgraduate courses will be mature students, so usually returning to study after a gap, either because they went straight into work after their undergraduate studies, and or they had families and stepped away from their education. Often, doing a master's degree had been on their mind for several years before deciding to come to our courses, and this is, I find, the most interesting aspect of this population, that they're highly motivated to continue their studies. And I think it's this degree of motivation that keeps them going through their studies. And I emphasize this because adult learners come with their own set of challenges. On several occasions, I have students that may go through challenging professional and personal situations during their studies. And of course, this may affect their learning if their motivation levels start to decrease. Gender-wise, I think most of my students have been female, and many of them will have families and jobs in parallel to their studies.
All right, so we've seen that a learner's general profile can affect their efficiency in online education, such a key factors such as age, occupation, level of income, gender, and geographical location. All of these influence their engagement in online learning. These can also result in a digital divide, specifically between the young and the elderly. Have you noticed this phenomenon in your online teaching experience? Which of the mentioned factors were the reason?
I think that those that do select online as a form of further education have a certain knowledge of digital technologies. Only on a couple of occasions have I had students that struggle with the technological knowledge necessary for studying online. On those occasions, I've provided extra support to students by means of one-to-one contact and, of course, directed them to the formal support that the university offers for online courses. I think all of them have managed thus far to complete their studies. I do remember this one student coming onto a course not knowing how to send an email. While she's now teaching her son to use technology, it's remarkable how much one changes and transforms. There's a British saying, where there's a will, there's a way.
This moves us to looking at online education from the teacher's perspective. Angeliki, how have your teaching methods been influenced and shaped by an online format of education? In which way do they differ from your face-to-face teaching techniques?
Very much so, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to reflect on this topic with this interview. Everything I had learned about teaching and the role of teaching from my formal and informal teaching and learning experiences needed to be revised. In online environments, the tutor needs to relinquish control over the learning situation. So students are no longer dependent on the tutor for acquiring new knowledge. There are such vast amounts of information available in online courses. Now, this requires a change in pedagogy. My role is now to support students towards finding their own solutions using the online sources to move towards this direction. And it's not easy for students at all to move into this new mindset, especially if they come from very traditional education systems. Another thing I find I've been paying more attention to is the instructional design of my courses. And it's something I've also transferred into my face-to-face teaching. It's been really useful for me. Students don't all learn in the same way or at the same pace, and there's so much differentiation between students in online courses. And this means that my courses need to cater for the student that prefers text and the student that prefers images and videos when learning. Similarly, I try to make assessment formats flexible as much as is possible to cater both to those who are new to the subject matter and to those who wish to take their learning further. I think that's the challenge, really, with online and postgraduate teaching, catering to the different needs of the more advanced and the less advanced learner in a particular subject matter. This is why I try to include more and less challenging materials on my platforms and offer extra catch-up sessions to students who need that extra support. I'm still learning, and as I said, I find that much of this new pedagogical and technical knowledge is trickling into my face-to-face teaching. So, yes, it's certainly been a really useful experience for me.
A teacher has traditionally been considered to have a leading role in the educational process. While an online format of education shows the tendency towards encouraging more self-directed and independent learning, do you think a teacher's role will therefore be diminished due to this reason?
Well, your question makes me think of some really able, independent learners I've had in the past, really high flyers, totally in control of their own learning. Did they feel the need for guidance and support, the type that a tutor provides? I'd say definitely yes. Even for these students, the presence of a tutor was necessary. In a different way, of course, to more traditional education, in a more mentoring type of way, just to provide a gentle push in the right direction. But this is still the exception. I think for most students, the tutor still provides a checkpoint for their progress, a supportive individual to whom they're able to voice questions and concerns and get feedback. I think even in the most self-directed and independent learning, a teacher's role is key to students' experience of learning, and no online materials, as well designed as they may be, can replace an enthusiastic, "This is such an interesting aspect of so-and-so," or "I'm always so impressed with so-and-so when I read their work." In other words, the emotional aspects of learning that really engage students in studying particular subject matter. An enthusiastic tutor, I think, cannot be replaced by any online material, however interactive it may be, and I see this in practice with my own students.
Angeliki, talking about the future perspectives of online education, due to the rapid development of digital technologies, there are some obvious concerns that formal education will completely shift to the online format, and there won't be any demand in traditional face-to-face learning at higher education institutions, since a lot of adult learners find it convenient to combine their online studies with everyday family and work duties. Do you think it is likely to happen?
Well, I think to an extent it's already happening, particularly at the postgraduate level. Taking the case of Greece or Cyprus, we've seen in recent years a shift in enrollment rates in traditional postgraduate courses, an increase in online courses and student numbers in these. However, this is, I believe, dependent also on the discipline. For example, in traditional disciplines such as law, medicine, or even business, you will not see many online courses for a number of reasons. Perhaps the cost is too high if the subject requires a significant number of lab sessions, or perhaps the value of the course is actually meeting and interacting with professionals in your field. I do think that in online learning, you do miss a lot out in that peer interaction. But again, that's also dependent on course design to an extent, I think.
That was Angeliki Triantafylaki. Once again, thank you, Angeliki, for being on the show. And thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. Now it's time for a break. And after the break, we'll look at online education from the learner's perspective.
Thank you very much for inviting me. It was a pleasure to be your guest.
This is Talking Eds Season 3, brought to you by the third cohort of the International Master in Adult Education for Social Change.
Welcome back to our show. For those who have just tuned in, our topic for today is online education from teachers' and learners' perspectives. Now we are moving on to online learning rather than teaching experience. Milton, I know that you have taken an online course. Can you share your learning experience with us?
Well, my learning experience on the net. So it wasn't obligatory. It was completely optional. I got some emails about a MOOC, a massive open online course.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, well, you know, this looks interesting. It was about media literacy.
Okay.
And, you know, it's a very interesting topic, especially one that it makes sense to cover it in an online course because it's all about online literacy.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to take it. It was very simple. It involved talking with a lot of people online. I didn't really connect too much with the teacher. But I feel that with my own learning, with my own intent to learn, it was more than enough to really get the benefits from it.
Hmm.
But what about your students' opinion about online learning experience, Anna? Is it similar to mine, or have you had a chance to get their feedback?
Yeah, I conducted a short survey on this topic, and their replies were quite similar. All of them do like online format of teaching, but some mentioned technical problems, such as bad Skype connection, and sometimes a lack of student self-discipline as the main drawbacks. The key advantages are flexible location and schedule, a possibility to choose the best tutors from all over the world, and to save time for traveling. Thus, for all of my students, it has been the first learning experience, but they are willing to continue studying in this format. I think that the case of private online tutoring differs from the online courses offered by higher education institutions or online learning platforms such as Coursera or edX, as here students are still guided and fully supported by the teacher.
Yeah, I agree. I think maybe a private online course, it's much, it has that face-to-face teaching, right, that a maybe a physically present teacher can also have, but a larger class, a larger group class, probably won't have that individual personal time with the teacher. So that is why we asked our IMAS colleagues about their online experience in order to examine a broader range of online learning options. So it appeared that the level of satisfaction with online learning was not so high. It was only 30% found it completely positive, while for the rest of them, it was difficult to say that it was positive.
Yeah, surprisingly enough, around 75% of learners would like to repeat this learning experience again, even those who dropped out, because they want to challenge themselves and make the next learning experience more efficient. But all learners agreed on the issue that face-to-face teaching is more suitable for them, as they enjoy the dynamics of the class, the presence of the teacher, and the prompt feedback.
Yeah, it makes sense because classes aren't really just about the material. It's also this this connection with the teacher. It has to do with the guidance and support from the teacher.
Yeah, what made me particularly interested in the process of conducting this survey is how online education is developing in different countries.
It's interesting to talk about this topic with people from different parts of the world. So we are going to ask these questions to two of our IMAS colleagues from Central America and Asia. So we have Katia from El Salvador. Hello, Katia.
Hello. Thank you, guys. Thank you for inviting me.
And we have Nak from Vietnam. Hi, Katia and Nak. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
All right. So let's start with Katia. So, right. Katia, why did you decide to take up some online courses and how'd they go? Did you complete them successfully?
Thank you. Well, it's a great question. If I completed them successfully, it's a lot related to what you were mentioning before. Really required for me a lot of discipline. Especially because I had to balance the job responsibilities that I had at the moment. Mm. And I would always find myself doing assignments, you know, in a very short period of time because I kept postponing them. But because it was a very interesting subject, I mean, and it wasn't an obligatory course, it's actually for self-development. But so I think that I got my motivation from that.
Right. So yeah. Even though you had a job, you found that self-motivation to keep going.
Yeah, exactly.
Would you say it was a positive experience overall, or did you face some difficulties?
Overall, I would say it was positive. It was a little bit stressful, especially when the assignment times came, because I just realized, you know, like, oh my God, I haven't even started, and maybe the deadline was in 2 days. But yeah, I really liked it. We had a very nice interaction with the teacher, and probably that's one of the highlights of this course, that the teacher was really an expert. And if this course hadn't been open online, probably I would have never had the chance to really access such an expert, because the institution that was offering the course was in South America. So if I had wanted to take that course, I would have had to travel down South America, cover the expenses of traveling, and then stop working to actually take the course. But I would say, yeah, overall, it was very, very positive.
It sounds like a very positive experience.
Yeah.
Nok, I know that you also tried online learning. Can you please share your impressions on this experience?
Sure. So personally, I've taken up, I think, quite a few courses on this platform, a MOOC, named Coursera. I think you've mentioned it earlier. So I found this course just, I think, by accident. It was about modern psychology and its relation to Buddhism. So these two topics were of interest to me. I've always been very interested in religion studies, and I just thought, wow, if I'm able to see the connection between something so ancient and the, you know, its use or helpfulness in today's society, that would be great. So I signed up for this course, and the experience itself was great. But then I got through, I think, half of the content of the course, and then I could feel my motivation and discipline started like decreasing. Mm-hmm. And then, like, at the very middle part of it, I just, you know, I just like flopped. And I've been trying to pick it up again. but it seems like it hasn't gotten back to me yet, even though I do plan on getting back onto that course somehow. But, you know, it's difficult. I think generally speaking, unlike courses, especially in that environment where you don't really get that personal interaction with the facilitator, it can be quite challenging.
And apart from lack of self-motivation and self-discipline, did you face, for example, any technical difficulties in the process of studying? Because it seems to me that online education may not be so popular in Vietnam so far.
Actually, personally, I haven't had any major issues with online education, at least in Vietnam, least in Vietnam, because in Vietnam we have very widespread Wi-Fi connection. It's cheap. You can get it anywhere you go. High-speed broadband Wi-Fi. But in Vietnam, actually, the online learning industry, it's on the rise, it seems to me. We've been having a lot of, there's like a trend in English learning, actually, specifically, where the experience has been, you know, digitalized. There are more classes now. People have the option to study at their own pace, in their own time. So yeah, I do see a rise in online education in Vietnam, though not in state education institutions, not yet, at least. Yeah,
that's interesting. That's similar to how it is in Mexico. I would say we have the Wi-Fi, we have like all the connections and everything that we need to have online learning, but I would say that definitely some state universities offer online learning courses, and these are very widespread. Although I would say that a lot of like the popular courses like from Coursera or edX, because these are mostly in English, so most of the courses that come from like that are from the outside of Mexico that come to Mexicans, they're usually about learning English. So like courses in learning English, English for business, English for media literacy, English for etc.
Yeah.
But then other courses, for example, that are related to topics that are not exactly English. So, for example, if you want to learn physics, you're probably just going to find it in English. You probably won't just find it in Spanish.
That's the same in Vietnam. But I think that does create a barrier to a lot of learners.
Absolutely.
Yeah, who don't have a good English command, for sure. Yeah.
And Katia, what about El Salvador? Is it similar over there? How is the country's population going in online learning?
Well, I would say that there are two major trends going on. One is connected with higher education, especially because we're a very small country and you would usually find yourself stuck in traffic jams. So many higher education institutions are moving towards offering complete courses, complete degree programs, 100% online. So I think it also has to do with logistics on the side of the institution, because, I mean, you can have many more students enroll in your courses without actually having to manage expenses related to buildings, maintenance, parking spaces, etc. So that's one thing. And the other trend has to do with just exactly what you mentioned, Nock and you, about learning a language online. So there are many academies offering online courses, Salvadoran academies offering online courses for people to learn mostly English. So in terms of how widespread internet access is, I would say it is really very accessible for everyone.
Very interesting.
Yeah, Katya, and what about this problem of digital divide between the young and the elderly? Is it an issue in El Salvador?
Well, I think it has to do a lot. If we talk about online education, and if we refer to the fact that through your course you are looking for some accreditation, then I would say yes, because most elderly do not really have, they are not digital natives, I think.
Digital natives.
Yeah, so it's quite hard for them to really interact with a laptop because they are so scared that they are going to break it.
Yeah.
So they prefer just not to get close to it. However, when it comes to interacting with mobile phones, somehow they are a lot better at doing that. So I see the divide that exists, but it's especially marked by the type of device that they're using.
I'm just comparing the situation in Asia, in Central America, and in Russia. And I see that in Russia, online education at state institutions is a very pressing issue nowadays, since digital technologies are transforming universities. Russia is a leader for one important indicator on the Coursera platform. It's the fastest growing market for paid educational services on Coursera. And in addition, users in Russia are more active than the average Coursera user at the global level, which highlights the positive effect online courses can have on an individual's career development. So do you think learners will become so technically advanced and independent in the future that the teacher's guidance and presence will not be required at all?
I would say that there will always be learners that are very technically advanced and independent, and they will be able to learn whatever they need without a teacher's guidance. But I would say that the majority of learners will always kind of need at least a little bit of guidance, a little bit of here's the path. And it's much easier, maybe not the presence of the teacher, but definitely some sort of guidance to just kind of set them on the path of what they want to learn.
I agree. I think even when the entire population of the earth is technically advanced, we would still need the presence of the teacher, either online or offline, in person. Because at the end of the day, it's all about that human connection, you know? So you can't really take that away.
Yeah, exactly. I just compared this online interaction with a language learning app. So when you're learning a language using an app, the app just tells you right or wrong. That's it. So the feedback is limited to that. And I certainly believe that the feedback that you can get from a teacher, from a tutor, being online or being in person, actually makes the difference, because as humans, we need to really know what we're doing right and what we need improvement. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So maybe online courses, we have to think about the human side of it, not just the technical, right?
Definitely.
All right. Well, once again, thank you, Nakatia, for being on the show. And thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. We hope you learned as much as we did. If you are interested in finding out more about the International Master in Adult Education for Social Change, please go to www.gla.ac.uk. And to follow the journey of the third cohort of IMASC, please visit our blog at imask-unmasked.squarespace.com.
That's it for this week. Please tune in the coming weeks to follow us as we engage in dialogues about issues related to adult education for social change. Have a great day, everyone.